Hey, this is Chris Brown. This episode is brought to you by Vanderblumen, the search group who helps churches and ministries build great teams through their innovative pastor search and church staffing process. Visit Vanderblumen.com for more information. That's Vander, BLOEMEN.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. So honored that you're tuning in. My name is Chris Brown. I am your host. And on behalf of Ramsey Solutions and Bob Borquez, our producer, and Amanda Rogers, our associate producer, we are thrilled to be chatting with you today. You call in 866-357-3283. Again, 866-357-3283. You call in with your questions, your comments, your testimonies about how the Bible talks about situations in our lives. You can also email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. We've got a call already lined up. This is Kimberly. Kimberly, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Well, good. How can I serve you today?
I had a quick question regarding some outstanding debt that I owe. Mm-hmm. I have a loan that's roughly $24,000.
Okay.
And I have some stock options that I can sell through my company to clear the debt, but I'm not sure if that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, good question. Do you have any other investments besides the stock?
Just 401k.
Okay. How much is in there?
Just over maybe 100.
Okay.
1,000.
And this company stock, the stock options is definitely not like earmarked for retirement and all that, right? Of course not, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I have no problems with this at all. Cashing it out, and attacking that debt, getting rid of it all, and then boom. Are you familiar with our baby steps at all?
No.
Okay. Well, we have what's called Financial Peace University, and I'm actually going to give you Financial Peace University for free. And what it does is it gives you this step-by-step process to experience financial peace and to do everything the way the Bible says to do it, to make sure that you avoid debt, make sure that you save, make sure you invest, make sure you're involved in generosity, make sure you budget and you plan. And it kind of breaks that all down for you. And very successful. 4 million people have gone through it, and they've really experienced some incredible results. So what this would allow you to do is you'd put $1,000 in a money market account as your starter emergency fund. You'd have that there in a money market account. So it's there, it's liquid, it's available in case of an emergency. You would apply the rest towards this debt. You'd knock off that $24,000. And then that would put you through baby step one, baby step two, and you'd be on baby step three, which is to fully fund that emergency fund to 3 to 6 months of expenses. And you'll put that into this money market account so that the next time life throws you a curveball or it is just one of those bad days where you have this $5,000 emergency or $7,000 emergency, that you can go to this money market account and you're kind of self-insured at this point. And you can handle it with cash instead of having to borrow to get out of that that situation. So that would be baby steps one through three. And then once that's done, then you're going to dive right back into that retirement and be putting 15% towards long-term retirement, towards a 401k or a Roth IRA. So that's the plan. But yes, I would totally cash out the stock options, attack that debt, stay on the line, and we're going to hook you up with Financial Peace University. Okay?
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
Hey, when I was an executive pastor, I used Vanderblumen Search Group to help me find church leaders to join our church. As the leading search firm for churches and faith-based organizations, Vander Blumen prayerfully comes alongside your team to guide you through the search process and bring you great candidates that fit your church's needs. And actually, they connected Dave Ramsey with me. Because of their ministry, I am able now to serve and use my passions to spread the message of stewardship to the local church. Visit vanderblumen.com for more information. That's Vander, BLOEMEN.com. Folks, got an email here from Joe. It says, "Hey, Chris, I'm interested in your advice when it comes to communicating with unbelievers about stewardship, about budgeting. I strongly believe that the Lord has called me to the workplace to work unto Him and to be a light in the world of industry. I'm fairly new to the workforce, late 20s, just out of grad school, and I'm slowly learning how to develop relationships with my unbelieving colleagues. I've seen some good progress there, as several of my colleagues have begun inviting me to various things. However, I'm finding myself often having to say no, not because I'm unwilling, not because I'm too busy, or what they're doing violates my conscience, but more frequently because my wife and I budget fairly frugally, and going to movies and meals, etc., with coworkers doesn't always fit in the budget. I haven't quite figured out how best to communicate with my coworkers about budgeting and stewardship in general, and I'm wondering if you have any advice." Well, I just love this email, Joe. I love the heart behind it. I love the intentionality behind it. I love everything about it. I love you being a light in the world. It's great stuff. I know you're inspiring several people who are listening in today. Here's how I would handle this. I wouldn't tell them what you're against. I would tell them what you're for. What I mean by that is I would tell them, this is what I'm about. This is my vision. I these are my goals. This is my mission statement. This is what I'm going after. This is what I'm for. And what we've done is we have laid out goals in my life, in my family's life, and we have created benchmarks and we've created a plan on how we're going to get there. And I would thank them. I would thank them for inviting you. I would look for ways to connect with them in other ways, personally, like, you know, through cards or remembering birthdays or remembering their kids' names. So that doesn't look like you are not being social or being rude, but you've laid out for them, hey, this is our plan. This is where we're headed. That's why I can't do this. But it doesn't mean I don't want to connect with you socially and connect with you personally. Maybe we can have a lunch sometime where, you know, we can schedule a team lunch where we can kind of have a meeting and lunch at the same time and kind of break some bread together. So that I'd be more talking about what I'm for than what I'm against. And I think deep down, whether somebody's a believer or not a believer, people are attracted to discipline. People are attracted to people who know what they want. People are attracted to intentionality. So if you tell them what you're going after, they're going to cheer you on. They're going to be excited for you. It's going to be less about them not getting what they wanted that one day and more about them cheering you on with this huge lifetime goal. So that would be the way I would attack it, but very, very cool. Love your heart, Joe. Well, from Blacksburg, Virginia, we've got Zach calling in. Zach, how are you?
Hey, man, what's going on?
Answering some calls. And excited about helping you.
Sounds good. Well, I'll tell you what I got going on. I'm 25 years old. I graduated from Virginia Tech in 2013, and I've been working up in the Blacksburg area, living on my own ever since. I just got hired about an hour and a half from here in my hometown, which is in rural Appalachian America, as a special education teacher. And so I'm in the process of moving back and beginning my life there, transitioning my life there. And my living situation, I'm trying to figure out what my best option is, and I'll kind of describe the situation and let you answer it how you see best fit. I'm on the baby step number two of Dave Ramsey. I have about $30,000 left on my student loans. Everything else is paid for, drive, used vehicle, do all that stuff. Pretty good. I'm able to pay about $1,000 a month towards that now, and that's not going to change. My budget really tight. And so in about 30 to 36 months, you know, leave some wiggle room in there, I'll be supposed should have that paid off. The conundrum that I'm running into is the rental market in my hometown is pretty dismal. I mean, I'll give you this straight. It just seems like it's just all low income. all places I wouldn't really want to live. I wouldn't really feel safe living there. I wouldn't feel comfortable living there. Anything that I want to rent that's a decent place, probably going to run me $600-$700 plus utilities, because it'll be a house. So my mom and dad, who are both from there, offered to let me live at home, provided I pay for my own groceries. I give them a little bit a month. I'm 100% self-sufficient. I do my laundry, do all that stuff, and most importantly, follow the rules and respect the rules of their household. I was raised in a Christian home. I'm a Christian, and that wasn't even an option for me at first, because I've been living on my own for 5 years, and I believe there's some you can't put a price tag on learning how to be financially independent and stuff that you learn from being on your own. But the flip side of the coin is I'll be saving $700-$800 a month. That's $700-$800 extra towards my student loans. And when they offered this option to me, okay, we're going to do this so you can get to your goal, which is pay off your student loans. And from there, you'll be out on your own, which is where I'm at. And so I just wanted your thoughts on that and maybe some guidance about the best way to handle or not handle the situation and see what you thought.
Yeah, I don't hear anything that's unhealthy in this arrangement of you going back and living at home for a season. It looks like what it'll take is now 3 years down to 18 months or maybe 20 months.
That's the math I have on it, yes, sir.
If you were to tell yourself and say, hey, we're going to do this, I'm very thankful and filled with gratitude, but it would only be if we do this 18 months or less. It's not so that 6 months from now I can get a little bit more lax on this. And I'm not going to say lazy. It's just lax. It's just maybe distracted, and it feeds into 2 years or 2.5 years, and you only shaved off 6 months. I don't like that. I do think that there might be a third option. It's not just living in an unsafe neighborhood or living with your parents. There might be, maybe it's $1,000 a month place and you get a roommate, maybe even two roommates, and you're looking at $300 a month. That might be an in-between land. But if that's not an option right now, then why not move in with your parents? And maybe that option comes available in 4 or 5 months for you in this season of your life. It's not a huge deal to move. You're not moving 2,000 square feet of furniture. So try it for 4 or 5 months. By then, you've kind of waited for opportunities to arise, the right opportunities, the right roommates, the right facility, or the right house. By then, you've already made an additional $3,200 in payments while you're waiting. I like it. I don't see anything wrong with that at all. And I would think through the roommate thing a little bit. That might be an option.
Yeah. That's great. All right, man. Well, hey, listen, I appreciate what you do. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. All right, folks. Well, for all of you parents out there, you know, that was definitely an example of parents who are really trying to help. And you can tell that they've done the front end work of teaching the right mentality and putting in the right character and the right work ethic. And Zach showed all of those and showcased all of those. And as a parent, I'm not sure how old your kid is and if you feel like you're doing a good job or you feel like you've equipped your kids in the right way. I don't know how old they are. Well, they could be learning to read still, or they could be learning to drive. But I want to take just a minute and I want to encourage you. Psalm 127, verse 3 tells us, children are a blessing and a gift from the Lord. It's obvious to me that Zach is a blessing to his parents. Your kids are a gift from God. And God chose you to be the parent of your child. The Bible also makes it clear that parents are the primary spiritual mentors of their kids. You heard him say, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up with Christian values. That's from their parents, his parents. That means teaching them everything, including a lot of the same principles that we talk about on the show. I know for Holly and I, we both feel the privilege, but also the weight, the responsibility to be parents, to teach our kids how to steward their lives. But we know firsthand that teaching kids about money is not easy. And that's why here at Ramsey Solutions, we created the Smart Money, Smart Kids class for parents. Smart Money, Smart Kids gives you a practical step-by-step approach for guiding kids of all ages to work hard and to handle their money with wisdom and practice generosity. Right now, when you visit stewardship.com and you use the promo code Chris Brown, you'll get it for only $49. You can get smart money, smart kids using the promo code Chris Brown with no spaces at stewardship.com.
Thank you for being with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now let's get back to Chris.
Well, folks, you're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown. The phone number to call in is 866-357-3283. And all the way from, looks like, Mesa, Arizona, we've got Becky calling in. Becky, how are you?
I'm fine, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, honored. How can I help?
Well, I've got a little bit of a sticky situation here. I guess most of your calls probably concern that. my husband and I, we've been very adamant about sticking to the Dave Ramsey approach to things, the every dollar budget. We are fully on board. We've come off of quite a few big money mistakes ourselves and some bad luck in turn, and just kind of trying to get ourselves back on track. In the process of getting onto a budget and paying off some student loans and some other debt, have our cars paid off. We're in a rental right now. We're hoping that we can save up for another down payment. So we're technically on baby step 2 and 3. And the reason I say that is that we have one outstanding loan payment that we pay to my husband's father every month and have been for our entire marriage, in fact, over 13 years. And it's a combined loan. It was a plus loan. My father-in-law, at some point, unbeknownst to my husband at the time, consolidated with another plus loan of his for his other son and put it into one at an 8% interest, a 300-month loan. It's not scheduled to be paid off until 2025. And I started having major panic attacks, and I realized that our oldest son would be an adult by then, and we'd still be paying on this silly student loan. But we can't apply a debt roll-off to it because it's our portion is combined into this total portion that is two different families' loans, and it's all under the name of yet another family member, the father-in-law. And so we're unsure of how to knock this out because it's basically a monthly fee that we're paying every month as we try to put money into savings, as we try to build up our savings for both a down payment and our 3 to 6 months living expenses. And we've been away from credit cards for years, haven't even owned one. So there's a lot of effort we're taking to be on the right path, but we have this one that we're kind of enslaved to right now and not sure if there's any options out there.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is definitely unique and sticky, I think you said.
Yes.
So have you thought through maybe some possible options on how a plan where you can get around this or no?
Well, we have we've made different attempts in the past to try to sit down and have kind of a big meeting with all parties involved. Like I said, there's three families. There's two brothers and the dad. Any information that has actually been accumulated at this point has been through my husband's efforts to basically get my father-in-law's Social Security number, to set up online accounts for him to have access to actually find the information, call the company, try to get paperwork. But we've tried to track down, my husband has tried desperately to track down what the original loan amounts were, how many of them were in the name of my husband's plus loans, how many were his brother's plus loans.
Right.
And trying to get some kind of number that you can go off of to then maybe come back and say, hey, if this is the amount that we technically owe,
right,
if we threw this much extra for this amount of time at it, the problem is because there's this other family and we don't know, I think everybody's kind of unsure about, like, is the amount that we're even paying the right amount? Because when we first started inquiring about this in 2010, as we were really trying to, make changes in our lives, we couldn't really get any clear answers about, how much money was whose and who was paying on it for how long before it got consolidated into, so it has been, and there have been buyouts over buyouts. So dead ends my husband's run into.
What a disaster.
It's a disaster.
So whose name was the original student loan
You know, both sets of loans. I don't even know if there's two single loans. I think it's several little tiny plus loans from both my husband and my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
But all of those were in my father-in-law's names because they were parent loans on his two sons for school.
So they're all in his name.
Exactly.
Here's what I would do, and it might not be what you decide to do, but here's what I would do in your situation. Your father-in-law is the one who decided to consolidate, not you.
Mm-hmm.
So any fees that are tied to this consolidation, I wouldn't feel any ownership about it. Like, he decided to do that on his own. You didn't decide to do that. Actually, he created a mess. I wouldn't do it in a mean way, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't feel any kind of, and it's not in your name, so you're not worried about any kind of repercussions. So mm-hmm. here's my original thought was, okay, what is the original borrowed amount on the credit report? I think that would still be on there. It would even say on there.
Yeah, it's on the original paperwork that there was an original amount. Well, there's an original amount consolidated of $57,000. The now outstanding on the paperwork that I have in front of me, that's literally, again, like all been printed out, the balance would be at about $34,200. And we're paying monthly, quote unquote, about a third. That's what we were told. You know, it's divvied up about a third to two thirds. Our amount was about a third. And so for us, it's like, for my brother-in-law's side, they're also like, are we paying more every month than what our original amount was? Are we paying less? Nobody knows what they're... You can't just say a third and two thirds and kind of leave it at that. Hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest that it can be go one way or another. So trying to kind of communicate that has been difficult. But
I'm sure.
In the meantime, every month as we continue to shell out that money that could be going in our own savings, we'd like to be, you know, because it was actual money that went towards my husband's college. So it technically was the agreement, I guess, they all had was he'd take out parent loans and then the boys would eventually pay him for those parent loans at some point in life.
Here's the deal. If it was consolidated at 57, try to go back and try to find out the original amount borrowed. And I would think, 20 years mm-hmm. for me when I would have taken out that first loan for my first year of college.
Yep.
Yeah, I would remember about that that amount. And if it was within $1,000 or $2,000, I would just round up and I would just be on the nice side. Then I would, what's an average interest rate right now? And I would go find that and I would say, here's the payment I'm going to make. All this fluffiness and we don't know, this is what I feel like is the right thing to do. Here's what we're paying. Whether you like it or not, and say this nicely, of course, I don't know what to tell you, but here's the deal. You don't have to worry about any repercussions because it's all in his name. You're doing the right thing. Ephesians 4:2 says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with another in love. Do it in love. But you're going to draw a line in the sand and say, we can't be good stewards. We don't know. I mean, we don't know. So we're going to give you something that's fair. And we're thankful that you took out these. I mean, you were involved in our college education. We're thankful that you tried to help, but it's not helping. And we love you. But here's what we're paying. And here's what we're paying from now on. I don't know what to tell you. But that would be me. It's a fair interest rate amount. I wouldn't pay any of the consolidation fees. You weren't in on that. I wouldn't do that. So,
go ahead.
I was just going to say just that collaborative spirit and that, soft answer turns away wrath. Just be firm, be resolved, but that doesn't mean you don't have to be kind. Be kind. But
do you know of situations that where, because part of me was like, if he could somehow, and I don't even know if that's even available, but like refinance it at a lower rate, if you can do that with an already consolidated loan so that we have a shorter term, because again, we're basically stuck sort of, there's three different parties involved and feeling like, well, even if we paid extra towards trying to get it down.
Yeah, that's, I think that what I'm hearing from you is not necessarily the amount. It's not knowing the amount. That's the bigger issue.
Yeah.
And so when you go to do that, any kind of a reconsolidation or another refi, you're still in the same spot. You don't know whose is who.
Yeah.
And who cares if it goes from 8 to 6%? You're still stuck in no man's land, not knowing what you're going to pay. So,
saying take what we know as the original amounts, apply an average interest rate now to that and have a payoff term, and then just say, this is what we're paying.
And then you're going to put, let's say it's $50 short of what you've been paying. Well, now it's on him. It's on him. If he can come back with some great data that says that, hey, listen, you're supposed to be paying $50 more, then say, okay, cool. I get it. That makes sense. We're not trying to get out of anything. We're just trying to get a set payment because you don't know. So we're going to draw a line. If he comes back with good data, say, oh, good. Now we know. That's cool. If it comes out that you owe two thirds and the other guy owns a third, just as long as you know what's true.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sort of the problem where we're at.
Yeah. So you put it on him. He's the one that made things fuzzy. And you've toyed around with playing with this for 16 years. And so now it's on him. Say, listen, we're trying to get some things in order, and we can't do things in order when we don't have no clue what we're doing. So,
And
of course, say it nice.
Right.
All righty.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Well, folks, great calls today. Listen, all this talk about getting out of debt, you heard it from Kimberly from Dallas. You heard it from Zach in Blacksburg, Virginia. And you heard it there from Becky. Why do we want to get out of debt? Because the Bible says in Proverbs 22:7 that the borrower is enslaved to the lender. Romans 13:8 says to owe no man anything except for the debt to love one another. Folks, we are to get out of debt. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:5 to free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. Folks, don't forget, visit stewardship.com. Use the promo code Chris Brown with no spaces and get started with smart money, smart kids. God bless y'all.